We'll take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Just kind of hold your spot there. We're going to turn there halfway through. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I want to start with Genesis chapter 2. So after you found your place in Galatians and marked that in Galatians 5, 16, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Well, thank y'all for being here. I tell you, I had much rather be in a house with two people that love God and want to hear something from God and be with God and has got a good heart than I had 1,000 people that don't. Amen. I mean that with all my heart. I want to thank y'all for all your outpouring of support and everything for my neighbor and my good friend Jim Crabtree that we buried Monday. I got to preach his funeral, and it was a blessing. It's like I got up there and said, I got up there and I was able to say a whole lot of nice things about him. I didn't have to preach him into heaven by his own testimony that he had with me. He's in heaven. Amen. And it was, we didn't know each other long, but like I said at the funeral, we had a friendship that grew fast and strong. Like I told them, Jim was a unique man. Jim was his own man. Jim was a man's man. And I enjoyed being with him. I looked forward to, we spoke every day. And spiritually he had some growing to do, but he was doing it, and he had a lot of good questions. He challenged me, and he encouraged me, to see his growth. And he asked some deep things. He might have been a young Christian, but he knew deeper things than some Christians I've known that's been Christians for 50 years. So, this is the day that he died. I didn't know he was that was happening. This was before I sent this. On the day of his passing, he died in a, if y'all don't know, he died in a car wreck on I-65 going to the doctor. He was driving down the road and he looked over at Joyce and says, I'm going to have to pull over. Well, his pulling over was not pulling over. He was in the far right lane and went to the center lane and drifted to the left lane and then just started bouncing up against the guardrails in the median. And he had a heart attack. Fortunately, Joyce was not injured, didn't have any internal injuries. And she came over to the house. She was at the house today for about an hour. We're able to give her, Brother Andrew had got a nice peace lily to give to her, and I got to spend some time with her and her daughter, and so I enjoyed that. I was glad that she's doing as well as can be expected. But the day that he died, I had just sent him this text, not knowing that this was the day that he was going to be entering heaven, but it was Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And I'll be talking about that a little bit, but that's a fate we're all going to meet. But if you will turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Again, I thank y'all. I had so many people coming up asking what they could do for Joyce and everything, and everything was taken care of. The service went real well, and she's going to need a lot of prayer the next coming week. Her daughter has to go back to work tomorrow. Her daughter's a school teacher, so she's going to be needing a lot of prayer and help there. Genesis chapter 2. I want to tell you real quick, tonight I've got I'm reading about a whole chapter of Genesis 3. I'm just going to tell you. I've got a sermon that's got 7 points, but I promise you all 7 of those points are very short, so we won't be here till 9 o'clock tonight or anything, okay? It's going to be short. I started just to bring y'all out my nursing home. Since it's so few of us, my nursing home message that I got, the dangers of drinking and drugs and dancing. I told Brother Andrew I was going to nursing home. That's what I was preaching on. He said, whatever, Brother Jim. So if you will, take your Bible, turn. Like I say, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of chapter 2, and then we're going to skip around in Genesis 3. If you've been doing your daily Bible reading with the church, we've just gone through these verses. And that was kind of my purpose for getting them, for preaching out of this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. The Bible says the Lord God took the man and... Excuse me, am I supposed to have a mic on? I'm okay as long as... Well, let me put it on. Brother Andrew... I need to put this on so make sure Brother Andrew hears me in case he has to... If I say something, he has to cause a mess that he has to clean up or something. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Flip with me over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 13. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife... And his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Flip with me, or turn with me over there to verse 20. We're going to read verse 20 through 24. The Bible said, And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground, and from thence... He was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Father, I come to you and thanking you for being so good to us. I thank you for this church. Father, a place to come and worship and serve you. Father, a place that's of truth. I thank you for our pastor, Brother Andrew, and his wife, Sarah, and their family. Father, I pray that you'll be with me. Father, use me these next few minutes. Speak to me, that we'll walk out of here, Father. We'll go closer to you. Father, speak to me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to speak to you for the first few minutes on when you don't listen to God. There's so many times I've told Patty, you get that Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you just don't listen. And every time that happens to me, it turns out bad.
Amen? It turns out bad. You always go with that Holy Spirit leaning, and you know what it is. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but you know when God spoke to you. You know what you're supposed to do, but you go your own way sometimes. Amen? That's what Adam and Eve did when you don't listen to God. They began to listen to other voices. Yea, hath God said? Did he really say that? Questioning God was what's happened with the first man and first woman. It continues today. No wonder they question God's word. How did they question it? No wonder we question it today. They were right there with God, and they questioned what God was saying. We question Him even more today. Although we have a likeness of God in our 66 books that we have right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. We've got God right here, but we don't. But do we listen to it? Amen. Satan's not interested in what God said or what God didn't say. Satan is only interested in getting us to question what he said. Amen. And he works on that today, every day, in every church. Amen. Especially with Christians, he ain't got to worry about the lost. Amen. Satan. Preacher gets up and you say, well, did he say Philippians 1:21 or did he say Philippians 1:26? Can we really count on Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who will be called according to His purpose. Can we really count on that? Is it really 1,000 years? I mean, does God really mean a literal 1,000 years? Although He said it 6 times in the first 7 verses of Revelation chapter 20. Is it 1,000 years? God just wants us to question what it is. Yea, hath God said. I wasn't going to go this way, but I'm just going to tell you. There's a lot of ways that Satan has worked and still works. And one of the big ways to me, I'm a Bible believer. I believe this Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Amen? I believe every word of it. I believe letter to letter, verse for verse, chapter for chapter, book for book. I believe it. But I tell you, you've got a lot of things out there, and I think that's what's happened with all the modern perversions of the day. If I've got 200 different versions of the Bible, and I lay them out here, and I say they're all the Word of God, but they all say something different, only one of them can be right. If it's inerrant and perfect and infallible, there's only one can be right. And so I know I'm preaching to the crowd here, but if I've got 200 versions out here and only one can be right, see, here's the problem. All these versions came up, and it was a big scheme of Satan. Amen. He had all these versions come up. There's only one Word of God. Now, what happens is when you've got all these other preachers that get up and use other versions, I'm just going to tell you, they just get all the manuscripts and they throw them up in the air and they pick one out and they say, "Well, I'll use this one." Now, if you've got a Bible that's different and says something different than mine, yours or mine, one of them, they can't both be right. Amen. Things that are different are not the same. So, what they do, these preachers, when they use these different versions, all they're doing is saying, "Well, I know they all say the same things different, but I'll figure it out." And they make themselves God, and they don't mean to do that. I mean, there's a lot of good preachers out here that use different versions of the Bible. Trust me, I'm not bashing them. They don't have the Word of God, and I don't think you can truly grow spiritually if you don't have and don't know that that is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. They're good men. They're good people. But they're making themselves God to say, "Well, I'm going to cipher this out. I'm going to decide on, well, it means this or it means that." I don't have to do that. I'm not that smart. And I'm nowhere near close to God. All I've got to do is read it and believe it. Amen? Now, there's a little bit more that goes with that. You have to understand dispensations and God. A lot of people say, "Well, the Bible contradicts itself." And I tell people all the time, if you show me one contradiction in this Bible, I'll eat this entire Bible. Because there's not one. And I can show you that there's not. Now, it does say different things in different parts of the Bible, but you have to understand who it's spoken with. That's what Brother Andrew's teaching back in Sunday school. Dispensations. Who's it written to? What, you know? And you have to understand that. But there is no contradictions in this Bible. God never contradicted Himself. Yea, did God say? Boy, He's got a hook. He's got a hook in most churches today. Amen? They were easily deceived. In verse 4, he said, "You shall not surely die." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Amen. Now, I understand we're talking about a spiritual death and a physical death, but I tell you something. They died spiritually that day. And they were taken up. That's why we have to be... You know, you've heard the saying, if you're born twice, you can die once, but if you're born once, you have to die twice. The second death doesn't bother me. I'm going to be honest with you. The first death don't bother me. When I take my last breath here, my next one's up in heaven. Amen. I don't have to worry about that. I've got that settled. Amen. That's settled. Notice the progression of deceit in the following passages. When you read those things, first thing you notice is the will of God is resisted. Then you see the word of God is denied. Yea, did God say. And then you see the way of God is deserted. And that's the same thing that happens to us today, and that's how it starts. The will is, and Brother Grady preached on that watch night service. Number three, they displayed an independence of God. Their eyes shall be opened and you shall be as God. Absolutely true. That's a true statement. Satan told them, your eyes will be opened, you'll be as God. And that's true. That's what happened. When they ate that, they immediately knew that they were naked. Amen? They knew they had done wrong. They knew good from evil right there. From that moment on, they knew they had done it. Satan wasn't lying to them. He told them the truth right there. Scripture declares that God is dishonored by sinfulness, and He is glorified by our obedience. That's all He wants. Their eyes was opened, but what price was it opened at? They traded paradise, walking with God, to be thrown out into civilization. Boy, what is it? They exchanged naked innocence and fellowship with God for perfect for one sin. One sin caused all that. They exchanged all that being with God, perfect weather conditions, an outdoor life, for fear of death, taxes, diseases, Omicron, taxes, death, poverty, amen, war, crime. They didn't have any AR-15s in the garden. They didn't need them. Amen. The inheritance of civilization. They traded all that one sin to go for civilization. It's got tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, all that. They traded for one bite of fruit. Independence of God. I was here about 17 years ago. I was working down in South Alabama. We were parked in West Point, Alabama, and on West Point Lake right there. I was working down there, and there was a guy pulled up. I can't remember his name. His wife's name was Sunshine. I can remember that because it was a little bit different name. He was from Wisconsin. He come down with his, he had his pickup truck pulling his camper, and behind his camper he had his boat hooked up to it. I mean, he had it all going, okay? He was there. And I got talking to him after a couple of days. I got talking to him. I got to witnessing to him. Talking to him about the salvation of his soul. He said, you know, he said, I don't believe in all that. He said, there's a lot of shows on TV that can tell you things different. TV. This is where he got his spiritual guidance. He said, there's a lot of things there. He said, I was watching TV here years ago. He said, and I made my list of 10 things. He said, and I believe if I live by these 10 rules that I wrote, that I'm going to be okay. He made himself independent of God, is what he did. Amen. And we do the same thing. We may not say it like that, but that's what Adam and Eve did. They made themselves independent of God. Why do people forsake the assembling of themselves together? Amen. Why do people not allow God to speak to them? You got a book right here for God to speak to you. Amen. I'm not talking about an audible voice, but God speaks to me right here. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:3, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. A lot of people don't believe in doctrine. They say, well, you know, the doctrine, it's divisive, and we don't need that. And I thank God I'm at a church that teaches doctrine. Amen. Most churches today don't get past John 3:16. Amen? You stick around here, you're going to learn some deep things of the Bible. Amen? You know, John 3:16 is good and all that, but you know, there's a whole lot more Bible in here than that. Amen? But you go to most churches today, they're not going to teach it to you. They're going to give you some life application thing and tell you you need to be good and do good and all that, and God is good and God is great, and let us thank Him for our food. But that's as far as you're going to get. Amen? The Bible says we have to adhere to doctrine. Amen? Psalm 119:9, "Whereof shall man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto the Word of God," independent of God. Why do people not pray? The Bible says men ought always pray. Amen? Why do we not pray? We want to be independent of God. You pray, you're going to get closer to God. You read this Word, you're going to get closer to God. But the truth is, people want to be independent of God. Amen? Point number four, I'm almost done here. They made decisions according to the flesh. They saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. Take your Bible, turn over to Galatians 5:16 for me, if you would. Galatians 5:16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." They were fulfilling the works of the flesh here. Christ was tempted in the same way. You know the story of when He went out and He fasted for 40 days and He was hungry and He was out in the wilderness and Satan came to Him. And Satan tempted Him the same way that he tempted Adam and Eve over in the garden. The lust of the flesh. Adam and Eve said, "For this, this is good for food." What did he tell Jesus? He said, "I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread?" The second thing was the lust of the eyes. He told Adam and Eve that fruit is pleasant for the eyes. He took Jesus up on top of the mountain. He said, "Look at all the kingdoms down there." He said, "I'll give you all these kingdoms." And the third thing is a pride of life. He went and told Adam and Eve, "Eat of that fruit and you'll be wise." He took Jesus up and he said, "Jesus," he said, "show yourself who you are to everybody. Cast yourself down off this mountain to prove to them that you are who you said." Pride of life. Fifth thing I want to show you is they began to make excuses for their sin. You know, sin brings guilt, and guilt brings shame, and then shame makes the sinner want to run and hide. That's why a lot of people aren't in churches today. They feel guilt. They feel the shame, and they want to hide. They don't want to be here. Amen? And this is where you need to be. Amen? This is where they need to be. Amen? They begin to make excuses. The modern solution to all this is to adjust. Amen? They want to tell you it's okay. You take the modern theology today, and they can sit there and you can have a naked man go right in front of God and say, "Well, what of it?" He'll go in front of God and say, "Hey, none of us are perfect. Hey, what of it?" Amen? That's what modern society teaches us, to adjust to that. You don't need to adjust. You need to turn from your sin. Amen? That's why you have all the sodomites coming out of the closet. They don't need to come out of the closet. They need to get their life right. Amen? But that's not what modern science teaches you. Amen? We all make Adam made excuses. He said, "It's this woman that you gave me." Who is Brother the brother from Boaz, Brother Saul's. He made a joke about that in one of the services. I think he was preaching. He said something about, well, you know, if he'd have been there and God would have come up to him and talking about Eve, said, well, what should I do? Take her on. Let me get a redhead this time, God. You know, Adam didn't do that. I think he went on to talk about that. Eve sinned, and God knew it was a sin. He knew. I think he knew part of the circumstances. But he ate that Bible so he could stay with Eve. Amen. They made excuses, though. Adam comes up and said it was that woman. Eve comes up and said it was that serpent that was here. And they made excuses for the sin. We don't need to make excuses for our sins. We need to come up and say, I disobeyed God. Amen. 6 point right here. They had to suffer the consequences of their sin, in sin and sorrow. As you know, all women have to suffer during childbirth. Amen. Thank goodness. You know they were saying if it were up to men to reproduce, the human race would be extinct. Amen. We're not going through that much pain and sorrow. Amen. I got to experience that when I was in nursing school, and I know I told y'all this story before, but I'm helping the doctor deliver a baby there, and it was a difficult delivery. The baby had turned a little bit, so my job was to follow the babies down through the birth canal, holding the monitor so we could monitor the baby's heartbeat all the way down. And so I'm there doing that, and I'm on the left side of the lady, and her husband's over here on the right. And the baby was almost out. It was right, and she had one big contraction. But she didn't grab her husband. She reached over and grabbed Jim's arm, and I honestly thought she was going to rip my arm in half. I've never, never had anything happen like that. So she's about to rip my right arm off. I jerk my left arm, and then the doctor's hollering at me, where's my heartbeat? Where's my heartbeat? Where's my heartbeat? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm trying. Doc, I'm trying. I'm in a little bit of pain myself over here. So that's as close as I want to be to any birth pains. Amen? There's consequences for sin and sorrow. That was passed along to all women. You can enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, but then that's it. Brother Linton Smith taught me this, and he preached one time on fun. He said the word fun is not in the Bible. Amen. We can have pleasure. We can have joy. We can have enjoyment. But then when you get into the fun, sin can seem fun for a minute. But there's always a payday coming. Amen. It's good for a season. That season will end. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I honestly, I didn't think about this, or I would have got a different message. I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, and I appreciate y'all being here and being attentive. You can enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. It seems fun at the time, but the end results are all the same. It's always sin and disappointment and heartache and discouragement every time. Amen. I'm almost 60 years old. There's been a few times I hadn't done just right. And every time I didn't, it ended in disappointment, discouragement, amen, resentment. There's never ever been a time that I got disappointed by living right and doing right. Amen? Yeah. Never. Is life perfect? Absolutely not. Have I had some trials? Amen. Have I gone through some trials? Yes, I have. But I'm going to be honest with you. I can't get up here and tell you a whole lot of hard stories. I'm not going to lie. God's been good to me. God's blessed me. I'm not going to lie. I talked to my wife. I said, boy, we have it so good. I mean, we have it good. Now, I've got some concerns. My son's not in church. My son knows better. My son's saved. But he's not in church. That bothers me. I pray for him every day. We don't have it perfect, but I'm telling you, I really don't have any complaints. I really don't. I've been content with everything God's done for me. I've got a wife that's content with everything that's done. Amen. I praise God for that. I've got most men don't have that. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you. You know that. Amen. I've got a wife that's got everything I've done. Foolish or good or bad, she's been right there, and I've had a good life. God has been good to me. Amen. Very good to me. But we go through life, amen. Things happen. It's not perfect, amen. I don't even know where I was going. Living for God brings us joy and peace, love, long-suffering, amen. Goodness, faith. You know, God will never disappoint you, amen, as long as you're seeking Him. Amen. Living for God also brings us rewards eternally, amen. Nothing I do have I ever really had the thought of, I'm doing this to earn a reward in heaven. I'm just going to be honest with you. I do want to please God. And when I do things, I do it to please God. But there are eternal rewards that the Bible talks about. There's a crown of righteousness. There's an incorruptible crown. There's a crown of life. There's a crown of glory. There's a crown of rejoicing that you can earn. There are rewards that you don't even that we don't even know about that we're going to receive when we get to heaven for things that we do. Romans 5:12, whereby as one man sin entered into the world, and sin passed upon all men, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. We've got that death. Amen. We're going to face that one day. And I want to tell you what, short of a rapture, we'll all face that death. Amen. One day. And it's indiscriminate. Amen. Death will come to the black man just like it will the white man or the brown man. Amen. It's going to come to the rich man just like it does the poor man. It's going to come to the educated just like it does the uneducated. Amen. The blue-collar worker, the white-collar worker, death's going to get it, and it's going to come to all of us. Amen. It's indiscriminate. That's something that's a fact, that's something that we're all going to face. Amen. We're going to all face the grave one day, but as long as I'm here on this earth and I'm walking on this dirt, I'm going to please God. You're either going to enjoy God's blessings or God's chastenings. One of the two. Amen. I want to tell you what. There's been a time, especially in my younger teenage year, I faced God's chastening. I don't ever want to go back to that again. Amen. Never. God has blessed me too much. I'm telling you, I honestly couldn't. If you had me to sit down and tell you the bad things that happened in my life, I'd be hard-pressed to put anything down. God has been that good to me. Not because I'm special. Not because I'm smart. God just blessed me because I tried pleasing Him. Amen. There are consequences to sin. Adam and Eve found that out. And my last point, and it's a short one. They missed the best that God had for them. Out they go. Paradise lost. They were right there with God. Had it perfect. They lost it. God wants us to enjoy a full life. Amen. He wants us to bless us. But we have a free will. We have a choice to decide whether we're going to follow Him or whether we're going to go our own way. Are we going to listen to God or are we going to choose to listen to what we want to do? We all have that. One thing we last, whichever we choose, one of them's going to last for a season, and the other one's going to last for eternity. It's as simple as that. I appreciate y'all being here. I wasn't as prepared as I'd like to be, and we've had a lot going on this week. But I wanted to share this with you. It spoke to me. I hope to go closer to God. Amen. That's what I want in 2022. New Year's, I think most all y'all were here for New Year's, and like I said, it's just 2022, or 2020 also. I got booed for that, and I knew I would. Nobody wants to go back to 2020. I said, I'm not welcome it, but hello, 2022. But you know what? God's still here. God's still on the throne. Amen. We are in perilous times. Amen. We don't have to experience as much here as they do in Africa and China and some other places where it's really, really tough. But we're going to experience perilous times here. Amen. But we still have a choice to make. We can either listen to God or we can go our own way.